Okay, so I'm going to go back to the Mishnah on Yud-Gimel Amud-Beis. We did this Mishnah yesterday, but I just want to review it a little bit, okay? So on turn to page 26, 13b, in the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak, so it says Be'elim Mutarin. Yeah, excuse me, Mayor, can you step out? Okay. So it says Be'elim Mutarin. So the following statements don't constitute Nidarim. He says Hulin She'ochal. If a person says that which I eat with you should be chulin, obviously that seems like that's beheker. And then if the person says kibasar chazir, so we spoke about a davar hanadur that, you know, that in order for a neder to be binding, if I'm going to link it to something, I have to link it to something which has been prohibited by a neder. But if I link it to something which is prohibited just from the Torah, that's davar asur, that does not constitute a binding neder. So here, when the person says, you know, that which I eat with you should be like basar chazir, like pork, or kavod kochavim, like avodah zarah, or korot levuvin, or levuvin are these hides of these animals that the animal would be alive, and they would cut near the heart. When the animal is alive, cut out the heart, torch before avodah zarah. Now, if you look at the Ran on line 4 or line 5 in the Ran, it says kibasar chazir korot kochavim kumine isurim kitani. So here, the Ran explains that Tana is describing all types of different Isurim. Again, you may came a little late, but we're talking about if you link it to a Dabar Asur, it's not a binding netter. So there are all types of Isurim. In the Ran, he says, Asurin ba'achila kibasar chazir. The first type is things that are prohibited just to eating, like basar chazir, that's Dabar Asur. Then he has Asurin ba'ana. Now, basar chazir is mutar ba'ana. You can get hana from the chazir, but it's just asur ba'achila. Then he has Va'asurin Bahana Kavod Kochavim. Then he has things that are also prohibited in Hana'a. It was more Hamor, like Avodah Zarah. Then he has Va'asurin Bahana She'en Lahem Batala Korot Levuvin, Hu Tekruvit Lavod Kochavim. So he says, then the next type is now Avodah Zarah could have Batala, like the Goy can be Mabatel his Avodah Zarah, and then put it back in a Heter state if he's Mabatel the Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara, if we get to him in Sechet Avodah Zarah together, you'll see there are ways for him to be mevatel it, and then it becomes permissible. But then he says, then there are things that are not subject to batala, like orot levuvin, which are these hides of the animals, shoot to krovet lavodah kochavim. It was being or you know, as a type of offering for the Avodah Zarah, to nokbin bin ha'or kenegalev, they would cut the hide near the heart, vayimotzino tokshu. And they would take out the heart when the animal was still alive, right up your alley here, Mayor. He says, Shukai, b'chamirei me'avodah kochavim. And that's more chamor than the Avodah Zarah, the Ran says. Nihid avodah kochavim batala, because the Avodah Zarah, even though it's asur b'na, but it's subject to batala, you can nullify it. He says, tekruvet avodah kochavim ain la'batala, but the offering to Avodah Zarah has no batala. And then the Ran goes on to explain, we'll read two more lines in the Ran, we'll go back to the Mishnah. We're going back to the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Beis, okay? He says in the first medium wide line in the Ran Odeh, he says Betananami Sha'asurim Bachila Bavad. And then the Tana teaches me cases where it's just Asur Bachila Yeshben Tuma Kinevelot. In other words, then he has a category of cases which is just Asur Bachila, but it's subject to Tuma. In other words, he says Vishtetumaton Kamura Masim, and some have a tumor chamura, in other words, like a small amount of shear, he's got like the size of a lentil seed. So let's go back to the Mishnah now. So he says, I'm repeating back from the Mishnah. So we mentioned the Elim Mutar, then Kibasar Chazir, Kavod Chavim, Korot Levuvim. So all those are other examples of Davar, you know, that's like Mishum Surah. He says, and even though it's, you know, either it's Asur Bachila, or it's Asur Ba'anah, but subject to Batala, or it's not even subject to Batala, like the Or Levuvim, then Kinevelo, Trefo, Shkasim, Ramasim. So those have Tuma connected to it, certainly Nevela and Shkasim, Ramasim. So Trefo, Lechora, if you shechted it, would not have Tuma. Then, this I didn't explain correctly last night. Kechalat Aharon, last night I said it was Lechem HaPanim, it's not correct. Kechalat Aharon means like the challah that you're mafrish from the dough. So he says, let's say he says, your food to me is like challah Aaron uketrumato, or like the truma that's given to a kohen. So that's something which is prohibited to non-kohenim. So mutar. So under all those circumstances, that's not a binding netter because he linked it to a davar ha'asur. That's the bottom line. Linked it to a davar ha'asur. All right. Let's just see the Ran a little bit more and the third medium wide line in the Ran on Yud Gimel Beis. Welcome, Michael. So he says to call it Aronu k'trumato in the third medium wide line in the Ran. He says she'afal pi shekal isur they create shame, even though. So here he's saying like this. This is a little tricky. Why is Chalat Aaron and Truma called Davar HaAsur? It's created through his statement. In other words, the person has dough, he separates it, and he declares it to be the Chala. Or the Truma, he declares it to be the Truma. Why is that not like Davar HaNadur? Why is it Davar HaAsur? Davar HaAsur is like the Torah says it's prohibited. But here, he's making a statement. So why does, well, that's the Ran is in essence asking. Why is this Davar HaAsur, not Davar HaNadur? Even though the Easter is created through his declaration, it's not called Davar HaNadur. And we did this run yesterday. It was on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Remember with the korbanot and even after the korban. So there's it's asur and some things, but it's not called Davar HaNadur. He says even though it's permissible, prohibited to one person, permissible to another, lo machna nidrahu. It's not because of his neder, shreik shifrishan lo piresh, when he designated it, he didn't designate this will be prohibited to this and permissible to this person. Elabadai maita asir lazarim, the fact that it's prohibited, in this case, to non-kohenim, machman isurahu derama rachman alayu. It's because of the isur that the Torah, or the merciful one, puts on it. Betama dekulum, you have to link it to Dabar Nadur, a little bit Hasur Kidita Bigamar, like the Gemara is gonna say. Okay, let me just go up, finish the Mishnah, and then we'll talk some a little bit more. So back in the Mishnah line 4, then the Mishnah says so all of these, then we says any of them is mutar. Let me do one more Ran with this. He says on the first very wide line in the Ran, Harezi Mutar, and this is what Yosef was asking yesterday, Bafilo Ama Arachina Darbahem. Even if an Amma Aretz made these Nadarim, and we'll see at the end of the Mishnah, there's a difference with an Amma Aretz. He says, Ein Sirich Petach. He doesn't need to vacate the Neder. It's not a Neder at all. Ela Mutar Me'ilav. Ulahaki Afagab De Patach Batanu Be'ilu Mutarim. And therefore the Ran says, even though the Tana began the Mishnah with the words Be'ilu Mutarim, these are Mutar, nothing to worry about it. Hadar Batana Harezim Mutar. He repeats it again. Doesn't have exactly the way he says. We just have mutar. He's got harezim mutar, but we get the idea. He says, mishum dekvay lemitna haomer leishto harenalai keima. He's going to say another case in the Mishnah shortly that if a person says to his wife, this is always like a romantic statement. You're like my mom. It's my mom. You know, it's like he's trying to ask her having relations with her. So he says tzarich petach biyama aretz. So the Gemara is going to explain if he's an ama aretz. He has to go to Beis Din to vacate that neder on the Rabbanan level. So had the Tana not repeated the sentence, Harezim Mutar, lo yadana ba'in mutar deresha, he says, kolomar shim mutar below petach ahimi naokai. I wouldn't know which ones are included, elu mutar and totally mutar, ia kulu yatar kibinayo. I know elu mutar is more than one. But maybe the mutar is chulin shel chalafak basar chazir. I don't know which ones are going. So he says, "Hare elun mutar." It's like closing, like the parentheses, right? That's boxed in. So the first group, he's saying, it's a zero. Nothing to worry about. You don't have to speak to any rabbis or anything like that. Let's just finish up the Mishnah now. Then on line 4 in the Mishnah, Ha'omer leishto, if a man says to his wife, "Hare elai ki'ima." You're like my mother, means you're prohibited to me, like my mother is prohibited to me, meaning I'm not going to have relations with you anymore. So the town of the Mishnah says we have to find a petach, a way to vacate, or he's got to find a petach, a way to vacate the neder. Mimakomacher means it can't be like, didn't you realize what a zilzul this is for your mom to say this type of thing? You have to another basis. Because it's only on a derabbanan level, but we're afraid that he'll, if we let this go by, he'll make an actual neder that would be binding. So we want to nip this. We want to nip this conduct in the bud and call it a day with this. Okay. Now, one second. Okay. So, any questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah that we just did? Yeah. Right. All right. Okay. Okay. What's up, Yosef? Right. Well, in Chumash Halacha, there's not even a Davara Asur. He says, that's what the Gemara, we discussed the Gemara yesterday, and we're going to discuss it again tonight. The Gemara is going to say, Chulin, I even know from the previous parak that that's permissible. And what is it even doing here? But clearly it's different than the other cases, because Chulin is no Easter involved. He says, Chulin Shol Halacha. The other one says he wants something to do with Davara Asur. Okay, let me just do a little piece from the digest. One second. This is the Al Hadaf, not the Daf Digest, the Al Hadaf. Okay, please, I need everybody's attention. Okay, so we mentioned you have to be Matpis Bedavar Hanadur and so forth. Now, we did this Ron yesterday on the top of Yud Beis. The Ron questions why such a neder is not valid. Since Pradus becomes Truma only through the owner's designation, should be considered a Davar Nadur. And if one makes the neder linking food to Truma, the neder should take effect. So, one of the cases in the Mishnah, if he says it's like the Truma, says, in other words, this food is like truma. So why is truma not considered davar nadur? This is the Ran we spoke about. This is the Ran answers, and we did this again in the Ran here as well. The Ran answers that the fact that truma is permitted to kohanim proves that the source of its prohibition is not the owner's declaration, but rather it's zera ketuv, scriptural decree, is therefore considered a davar asur rather than a davar hanadur. In other words, if it's davar nadur, it's prohibited on everyone. If it's because he never made a statement that's prohibited this permissible to that person. So that's the telltale sign. It's a davar asur. If it's permissible to some people, prohibited to other people. The Rashba explains that the owner's truma designation is not what prohibits the produce to Yisrael Lim. Rather, it renders the truma as mamon kohanim, property of the kohanim. It's only as a result of the fact that truma is the property of the kohanim, Torah forbids Yisrael Lim from partaking of it. See the Ron the Rashba cited above in Dafir Aleph with regard to Chazeb Shok of Korn Shlamim. Now, alternatively, Tosfos and the Rush point out that before the owner designates a portion of the crop as truma, the entire crop is forbidden, for the Torah forbids partaking of tevel, produce separation, trumas masos. In other words, the untithed produce is tevel. So I'm not allowed to eat the tevel. Now I declare part of it truma. Accordingly, with Tosfos and Rush, they argue the truma declaration is not what renders the truma forbidden to the Israelim. On the contrary, it serves to render the shirayim, the remainder of the crop, permitted. So in other words, the Tosfos and the Rosh want to say, like, you got it wrong. In other words, when a person declares something truma, that's not, creating the prohibition on Yisraelim from eating it. Yisraelim were prohibited on eating everything. Now you declare the truma, you're permitting the rest of the crops. In other words, everything was prohibited. Now only 90%, 10% is prohibited or whatever. Only 2% are prohibited. So the Asvan Deraisa, that's Rav Yosef Engel, he points out that Tosfos and Rush are apparently of the opinion that the Easter for Yisrael to partake in Truma is an extension of the Easter Tevel. So the Asman Deraisa wants to say, comes out from there, that the way that Tosfos and Rush are looking at it, the Easter of Truma is just a continuation of the Easter of Tevel. He says they are of the opinion that the declaration of Truma does not lift the Easter of Tevel from the Truma portion of the crop with respect to Yisraelim. Therefore, they assert that it is not the owner's Truma declaration forbids the Truma to Yisraelim, rather Truma is forbidden to them because the original Easter or Tevel remains intact. Now, the Ram, however, who rejects this approach, evidently is of the opinion the Easter of Tevel is entirely left at the time the Truma is designated, and at the time a new Easter is created, which renders the Truma forbidden to Yisraelim. So it's a question, how do we look at Truma? Do we look at Truma as just a continuation of the Easter of Tevel? Or in other words, even before I get to these issues, do I look at Truma as a continuation of the Easter Tevel? Then Bechlal, I don't even have a question. Or do I look at the Easter Truma as a new Easter? But either way, it's not a Davar HaNadur. Either way, it's not a Davar HaNadur. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay? Well, I don't know about that. It's a tricky thing. It's almost like the tax code, is this taxable income or not? It's what has he done? So we got to sort it out. But the basic idea is that the Gemara is teaching us if he links it to a davar nadur, he's got a valid nether. If he links it to a davar asur, he doesn't have a valid nether. That's the basic idea. All right, one second, they're talking. All right. All right. All right. I'm gonna move on. Okay, so four lines from the bottom. Okay, let's all focus. Okay, in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tama da amar chulin sho'uchalacha. So the reason that it's permissible is because the person says that which I eat in your house should be a chulin. Ha'amar la chulin sho'uchalacha. But if he says la chulin, it will not be like chulin. La chulin is like not like chulin. We discussed that la chulin could be like chulin or not like chulin. La chulin sho'uchalacha. Mashma lo lechulin lehebe el korban. So if he says that which I eat with you should be la chulin, not like chulin, that means that which I eat with you should be like a korban. So mustama, it sounds like if we make this diuk from the Mishnah, then it sounds like it would be prohibited. So if he says chulin shochalacha is permissible, but if lu yetzori would say la chulin shochalacha, be prohibited. So mani manitin. So given that assumption, according to whom does our Mishnah go? E Reb Meir. So if it's like the Tana Remeir, we discussed this previously in our Gemara, Remeir holds, again, Remeir requires a tzai kaful, the double stipulation for, you know, when you're making agreements, and we discussed about Mammon and Easter, we discussed about that also previously, but anyway, so he holds from a lav, I can't learn a hain, from a hain, I can't learn a lav. So if it says la chulin, show chalacha, that which I eat with you should not be like chulin, so he would not deduce from that that which I do eat with you would be like a korban, be prohibited. So it can't be like Reb Meir. On the top line, on Yudalat Amin Aleph, 14a, Biela Reb Yehuda. So by process of elimination, if it's not Reb Meir, we think it's Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda is Bar Palukta. So he says, Hainu Reisha. But if that's the case, then there's no difference between this Mishnah and the Mishnah we learned on Daf Yud Amin Beis. So on Daf Yud Amin Beis, in the previous parak, so the Mishnah said on line one, Ha'omer la chulin sho'uchalacha is asur. So the Mishnah said mefurash, we say la chulin is prohibited, and we learned that the Mishnah follows, the whole Mishnah over there follows Rabbi Yehuda. So he says, so if the whole Mishnah follows Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda we know already holds la chulin sho'uchalacha is a prohibition on eating with the person, so in a ratio, what is the Tana teaching me here than more than I would have known from the previous Mishnah? So the Gemara says, "Aidi de katani kibasar chazir kavodikul chavim lahaki katani chulin." So the Gemara says, "Right, this thing about chulin is totally superfluous, and he doesn't want you to make this whole diuk that you know that chulin show chalacha and la chulin another way. It's just he really wants to teach me the later cases like basar chazir, that which I eat with you should be like basar chazir or like a vodazara, but that's still permissible because it's davar haasur." So he threw in chulin along the way. That's what he wants to say. Let's look at the little Ran here. If you look at the Ran around the 10th narrow line, Adi Tiktani Kusar Sivakulay Klomar, Hatani Chulin Shokalaka, Lav Lagufa Isrich, Lav Ladiuka. In other words, he's not putting it there to teach that halakha, because you know that halakha. And he's not putting it there that you should learn the diuk that chulin Shokalaka is permissible, La Chulin is not permissible. El Agab Grara, the Shara Patafeha. He just throws it in because of the other ones. And if you look at the Tosos, which is in the left-hand margin, if you look at the, it's like near the first medium wide line in the Ran, he says, So now we could even say that our Mishnah goes like Reb Meir, because even Reb Meir will agree, chulin shochalacha is permissible. That's the first answer to the Gemara. Let me do the second answer, and then we'll open up the floor again for some more questions. On line three on your Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay, line three. This is Ravina Amar Hachi Tani. So Ravina says no, that the Tana Bedafka has to put this line in Chulin Shochalapa. So Ravina Amar Hachi Tani, the Elimutarin Kichulin, that the following cases are completely permissible. It was Chulin Shochalapa does not require any shayla. Chulin Shochalapa, you don't have to go to bed or anything like that. The following cases are the same. So the Gemara says, "V'lo tana chulin habamina by sheila." You mean I would have thought if he didn't put that in, I would have thought that it does require a sheila and a bezdin with the chulin with the basar chazir and avodah kuchavim. Umiika la sukiya dai tahachi. He says, "Why would I think that?" Hamitani seifa omer liishto arei alai keima pokalo petach nukomater. Since in the safe of the Mishnah, he teaches me a neder, which is on a Drabanan level, and I need to make a petach, he says, Michlal, the Reisha lo bayis shem. So from there, I would deduce the early cases I don't need to. So the Gemara says, El mechbar to chulin memelin asfa. So the Gemara says, right, it's more logical the way we first said it. Chulin is just thrown in along for the ride for that. Okay? All right. Who's your questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I said so far? Everybody good? What's up, Josh?
That,
say again, repeat.
When we say, all
right. Right.
We're saying that this.
Like, it's a nullity. Nothing to worry about. No harm, no foul. Everybody goes back, does whatever they want to do. There's no nether whatsoever. That's mutar. Okay? All right. Oh, Dade, you okay? Okay? All right, let's go on. Now, all right. So we're in the Gemara in Yudal and Amun Aleph, around 10 lines from the top. Okay? So Manani Milas. Now, this really gets to the crux, which we've been speaking about for a bit. You know, Dade? Okay. So now this gets to the crux of what we've been talking about for a while, which is how do I know that if I connect that I have to connect it to Davar Nadur in order to have a valid or if I connect it to Davar Nadur, then it's a valid nether. If I connect it to Davar Asur, it's not a valid nether. So Manani Milay, so Amar Kro Ish Kidur Nether La Hashem. So the beginning of Parshat Matot, it says Ish Kidur Nether La Hashem. If a person, yidor neder, that's a double language, a redundancy of the language. It could say ish kidor. What is a neder? Yidor neder. To Lashem, ad shidur b'davar nadur. So which Chazal darshan out, the Torah is teaching me that if he links it to something, it has to be a davar nadur. He has to link the neder to a davar nadur. He says, yi hafi. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, if this is, you're making a drasha like that, afil b'davar asur nami, then I would argue that even Davar Asur is also a valid nether. How so? Taktiv le esor yisar al nafsho. He says, I could say it's double language there as well. It says, ish kidor nether la Hashem, oishava shua le esor yisar, which is double lashon, le esor yisar, to asur a prohibition on himself. So it's also a double language. So maybe even linking to Davar Asur also constitutes a good nether. He says, no, le esur yisar mi bai le lechitanya. So the Gemara says, no, le esur yisar, we're going to learn a different drasha from, which we had on Sunday. He says, ezu yisar mur b'tor v'chulei. So let me sit this outside, and then I'll review it again a little bit inside. If you remember, the Gemara quoted a brisa that if the person, let's say, the father's yort side, he always avoided eating meat and drinking wine on his father's yort side, and he continued doing that, and it was a neder. And he says, this day is like the day my father died. So that's a valid, in other words, it's not Davar Asur, it's Davar Nadur, but even though it's just for him, in other words, even though it's just a Davar Nadur for him, in other words, the only one in the world who has the prohibition to eat that day, the meat and the wine, is that person. And nevertheless, he linked the day to that day, that also counts as a Davar Nadur. And that's the Chiddush L'Esur Yisar al-Nafsho. All right, One second. Yeah, if you look, let's look at the first very wide line in the Ran. Danny, with us? Okay, first very wide line in the Ran. Midbari l'chitani yisru yisru b'chulei la shuinan da'afagav t'halin nidro b'neder. Even though he links his neder to a net to a neder that he's the only one in the world who's prohibited, then Yom Shemei Bo Aviv, the day that his father died, Chayel Nidra. Notwithstanding that, the neder is Chal, the Ilav Haikra, were it not for that Pasuk, Havamina, Kidur Neder, Ashidur Dabar Shunan, the Dur Lagamre. I would say Dabar Nadur means everybody's prohibited by this neder. Shinesar Mikol Mahmad Oto Neder. Let me just go over that brisa from yesterday, from Sunday's daf, just briefly on your Beis Amud Aleph, printing to Beis Amud Aleph on page 23 again. So he says, everybody turn to your Beis Amud Aleph. So around the 10th line on your Beis Amud Aleph, he says, can you wait with us here? Okay. So he says, Yud Beis Amud Aleph, line 10. Okay. So he says, Ezu Isar, everyone with me? Ezu Isar Amur B'Torah. What's the Easter that's stated in the Torah? Amar Harani Shto Chabasar. The person says, "I'm not going to eat meat." This, by the way, is important. By the way, the this is, you know, like many people have a minhag to fast on the day of the Yortzeit, which is really like the real traditional way to do it. And this, there aren't, it's not mafurish in the Gemara, but this the Gemara intimates at it here. If a person the day of the father's Yortzeit is not eating meat, drinking wine, and so it, like, in other words, there are different reasons that are given for it. One reason is that the day of the Yortzeit is the day of judgment in Shemayim, like in other words, like a Yom Kippur for the Niftar. That's one way. And another reason is that it's itra mazale, in other words, the mazal of the person, the different hesber, the mazal of the Abel, the survivor, his mazal is bad that day, and because it's the day that his parent passed away. It doesn't augur well for him. So he would fast in order to, like, sort of protect himself, you know, from something bad happening. So, but either way, though, so if a person says, so it says, like the day, he says, like this day should be like the day my father died. That's what he says. Or the day my Rebbe died. Like the day that, you know, some Gedalia. The day I saw Yerushalayim b'Churban, and then the Gemara goes through different hesver what Shmuel says, but the Gemara ends up saying four lines from the bottom. So he constantly was observing it as a day. So he's linking it to Davar Hanadur, even though he's the only one who's subject to that nether. Okay, so basically we learned the source for what we had. This was in the Ran we did on Daf Beis. The Ran went over these klalim that it had to be Davar Nadur, not Davar Asur. But now you have it here in the Gemara. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? We had something for Hashem. Wait, didn't we? We had something. Oh, well, right. So right. So what's the question? We should use Hashem for what? No, but Hashem makes. No. In other words, Hashem makes more sense that I'm making a neder, even though the thing is already like designated for Hashem, you know, as a result of halacha. That makes much more sense in the psukim if I'm darshan the words. Okay, so I'm going to go further in the Gemara unless there's any questions, comments, or thoughts. Okay? All right. Now, all right. So everybody look in the Gemara. We're on Yuddal and Amud Aleph, around eight lines from the bottom. Okay, everybody good? Okay. Mayor, Odeh, you're both good? Okay, so now Ha'omer l'ishto arayet alayim ki'im v'kulei. Now, if a person says to his wife, this obviously is a romantic statement. You're like my mother. You know, you're prohibited to be like my mother. So it means his mother is prohibited, and he can't have relations with his mother. He wants to see the wife is the same way. So we learned in the Mishnah that obviously it's not a valid netter on Torah level, but the Mishnah taught us it is a netter on a drabana level. Because, you know, we're afraid that the person's going to, but it's for an Amah Aris. We'll see in a minute. So Rabinu, on this we pose a contradiction from the following Braisa. He says, Harei et alai kibasar ima. A man says to his wife, you're like the flesh of my mother. And it was like language, ishi shel kol she'er b'saro, like don't come close to your close flesh or whatever. And they had that, I think, in the art scroll or one of the, or anyway. Kibasar achoti, or you're like the flesh of my sister. To Orla, like Orla. He's a Bakilea Karim. He says, it's interesting, like the terms that people would use, you know, to, you know, I guess he says, Lo Amar Klum. So the town of the Brisa says, you know, it's Gornished. He didn't say anything. So that's a stira. Here in the Mishnah, we're saying, if he says, you're like my imam, so there's a, then they're on a rabbinic level, but the Brisa says is nothing. So he says here, Amar Abaye. Somebody says the pshat in the braisa is he didn't say anything on a Torah level, but on a rabbanon level he did say. That's by his hesber to reconcile the braisa together with our Mishnah. Rava Amar habitamid chamim haba amah aretz. So Rava says no, the hesber is different. When the Tana of the braisa says lo amar klum, he said nothing. That means nothing. 0, 0, 0. But the braisa is talking about a Taman Chacham. If a Taman Chacham makes this statement, so we're not afraid he's going to go off and make other statements that would be valid netter. But the Amah Aretz, we are concerned about him going off and making other statements, which are bad news. So Mela, with the Amah Aretz, we have a different halacha. That's the way it sounds like. Now, that's the way the Gemara is saying. All right, now three lines from the bottom. The Hatani. Now, the Hatani here, usually about Tanya is a question. Let's look at the Ram, two lines from the bottom. V'hatanya b'nichuta. And b'nichuta means a statement. In other words, even v'hatanya is usually, but we learn the Brisa the other way. This v'hatanya is no, it's a statement. The Brisa supports what we said. Kolomar in the Ram, the afakav srich she'elu li'am ha'aretz, even though l'am ha'aretz has to, you know, go to a chacham and have the netter released, tani lo amar klom, came into the Tam Chacham in Sirsha. Nevertheless, the Tana uses the term Lomar Klom because there are some people who don't have to go, like the Tam Chacham. So we're going to see another example of that in the Gemara in 2 seconds. So three lines from the bottom in the Gemara. Bahatanya, Hanoder Batora Lomar Klom. If a person, even says Noder Batora, he's really taking a Shua. In other words, here, and the Ran on Amud Bey says sometimes the Gemara uses like the term Noder, but it means like a Shua. In other words, he makes a statement by the Torah, whatever the statement is, lo amar klum. He didn't say anything. But amar Rabbi Yochanan, it's sar she'ilah l'chacham. Rabbi Yochanan says, but he still has to do a she'ilah l'chacham. So even though the Brice says lo amar klum, Rabbi Yochanan says he's got to go to chacham. But amar Rav Nachman, the Tamil chacham, ain't answer a she'ilah. Nachman says the Tamil chacham doesn't have to do a she'ilah. So here it's a similar situation where if the Amar Aretz, and we'll see on Amud Beis exactly what the case is, but if the Taman Chacham is making it, we're not afraid that he's going to go off and make other Nadarim or other Shvuot. And for the Amar Aretz, we are afraid. And so we see the same idea where the Braisa says Lo Amar Klom. Lo Amar Klom means for the Taman Chacham. But for the Amar Aretz, in Achinami, he needs the Sheila. Now, turn the page on the top line on Amud Beis. Everybody with me? All right, now let me see what this thing is. One second. Okay, wait. We'll come. Okay, now, top line. Okay, Tani, we learned the Braisa. This is the Braisa we were just quoting from. Hanoder b'Torah lomar klum. If a person takes a neder by the Torah, now let's look at the Ran, eight lines down in the Ran. Hanoder b'Torah klomar shinishba b'Torah. He takes a shua like through the Torah. The kari leitana l'nishba noder. He says sometimes the Tana refers to a shua. Shua is when the person says he will or won't do something. So he calls it though noder. The katim le'el, like I wrote earlier. Umayrish ta Torah munach lefanav is her Torah lying in front of the person. But Amar, and what he says is b'zu ha Torah shelo eseh o sheeseh devar ploni. In other words, he doesn't say lashon shua. He says by this Torah I will or won't do something. That's what he says. He says lo amar klum d'date agvilin k'derim esavak. So the Gemara is going to say now if he says like by the Shem Hashem that's a shua. If he says by the Shem Hashem he's not that's a lashon shua. But if he says by an object, you know, by the Torah, that's not a binding shua. So here, there's a Torah lying in front of him, we'll talk. And he says, you know, by this Torah, he will or won't do something. He's just referring to the parchment of the Torah. We'll see. Now, back in the Gemara, Tanya, the Hanodir B'Torah Lomar Klum, the Masha Ketuvba, but if he says, like, by that which is written in it, Devar of Kayamin, then that is a valid shua. He says, Ba Uva Masha Ketuvba, this case three. If he says by the Torah and what's written in it, Devar of Kayamin. Now the Gemara is going to ask why I need case three if I have case two, but we'll dice this out slowly. So the Gemara says, Ketani b'masha ketuvba Devar of Kayamin. So the Gemara asks in case two, he says b'masha ketuvba, he says Devar of Kayamin. If he says he makes a statement that he'll do X, you know, by what's written in the Torah, it means by the Shem Hashem, he's going to do X. That's Lashon Shvua. This is Bav Machtuba Tzrich LeMeimar. So if he says in case two, he says B'Masha Ketuba, what's written in it, that's a valid Shvua. So does he have to say Ba Uvamash Ketuba case three? So Amar Rav Nachman Lo Kasha. So Rav Nachman says there's no contradiction. Let me get this. So Amar Rav Nachman Lo Kasha Hadamachta Oraita Ara. The last case is talking about where the Torah is lying on the ground. We'll talk in a minute. He says, Hadanaki le biyade. In the earlier case, he's holding the Torah in his arms. Now, when it says it's lying on the ground, the main thing is he's not holding it. It could be that it's lying on the ground as well. But the thing is, if it's lying on the ground, he shows like he's not machshiv what this Torah is to begin so much. So the Gemara says, Machtal ara date agvile. So if it's lying on the ground, now it means like this. The sentence, Bamasha Ketuvba, can mean two things. B'mash Ketuba mean that which is written in the Torah, B'mash Ketuba, which could be the Shema Meforash, B'mash Ketuba. B'mash Ketuba could mean the Gevilin, like that which it's written in. In other words, that which the Torah is written with. In other words, it's one of those ambiguous statements we had before, like la chulin. It could be na chulin or it could be for chulin. So mash ketubah could be either way. So we're gonna understand what he means by the totality of the circumstances. So therefore, the Gemara says, again on line 5, Amar Rav Nachman lo kasha had machta oraita ara, had nakid lebiade, machta ara, if the Torah is lying on the ground, date agvile. So then I would say, B'masha ketubah, he's not talking about the Shem Hashem, he's talking about the Gvilim. But if he says, Ba uvamasha ketubah, if he says both terms, then he makes it clear. Ba is then, between those two terms, Ba is the Gvilim, Mash ketubah is what's written in it. So the last case in the Brisa, when he says that Ba uvamasha ketubah, then that's a valid Shua, is because it's lying on the ground. So like he's not machshiv like the Shem Hashem and stuff like that. So he just said b'mash ketubah, we say he meant the gvilim. But now it's, he says ba uvamash ketubah, so then ba means the gvilim, mash ketubah is the Shem Hashem, then it is about shua. Nakat la biyade, but if he's holding the Torah in his arms, date ala az karocheba, and he says b'mash ketubah, then he's talking about the Shem Hashem. That's the first answer to the Gemara. So therefore, in case two, when he says, he says b'masha ketubah, he's holding the Torah. Then we assume he's talking about the Shem Hashem, and he has a valid shua. Case three, the Torah is on the ground, or certainly not in his hands. So we need both terms in order to be it that way. Okay, that's the first hesber in the Gemara. Next,
he's holding it and it's nothing.
No, case one, he's not holding it at all. Case one, he that's what the Ran said. He says. The Torah is lying in front of him. But he just says he's no debatory. He says, buy this Torah, he says. He just says, buy the Torah. He doesn't say what's in the Torah, and he just says, buy the Torah.
He says, buy the Torah is nothing either.
Right, he's got to say, B'mash Ketubah, right. Now, one second.
What's the translation of
Hold on. Give me two seconds, okay? Now, let's just do a little round on this, and I'll talk to you in a minute, okay? So on the sixth
What's
line,
Gvilin mean?
Gvilin is parchment. Gvilin is parchment.
Oh.
Okay. Now the sixth line in the Ran after Hanoda B'Torah, he says Hadamata Oraita Ara Hadanaki Lebiade Reisha Danoda B'Torah Lomar Klum Danaki Lebiade. Right. He says not in the way I said. Here now the Ran switched. He says that he is holding it. He says Vafilu Haki Lomar Klum Demai B'Torah Dekamar B'Gvilin Shik Tuva. He says. No debator, right. He's just saying the Gvilim. About B'masha Ketubah, Devar of Kayamim, the Date Ahaz Karocheba. But he says B'masha Ketubah, he means Ahaz Karod, the same Hashem. But Unishba B'Shem, about Seifa B'demachta Raital Ara, Askinan, that the Seifa case, the Torah is lying on the ground. Lufichach Ilomar B'masha Ketubah Bilbad. So if he would only say B'masha Ketubah, Lomar Klum. Came with the Mahta Ara and meaning the Daite Gvila. He would say, well, this guy, you know, he's when he's the Mashat Tuba, he means that which the Torah is written in, which is the Gvilim. The Haki Kamar, Mashatuba Hatora, Dainu Gvilim. Valki Amar Bav Mashatuba Mahani. The came in the Mar Bav for his Kira Gvilim. Once his Bav, that's the Gvilim. Looki Amar Bamashatuba, Akurka Daite Azkarachuba. Okay, that's the first answer. Now, let's do the second answer. Okay. B'ibaidema, back in the Gemara line 8. B'ibaidema. Or else I could say the entire Brisa is talking about where the Torah was lying on the ground. The Afagav the Machtal Ara came in the Mar B'mash Ketubah Mahani. So here he's saying that it's lying on the ground. And when he says B'mash Ketubah, even in that instance, he means the Az Karod of Shem Hashem. And in Achinam he says, B'zu Bein Tzirich Lamar Zu Ketani. And he's teaching me that it go, in other words, so if he says B'mash Ketubah, he's talking about the Az Karod. And he says Ba'u B'mash Ketubah, he's also talking about the Az Karod. And it's Zu Bein Tzirich Lamar Zu. In other words, this, and it goes without saying that. So the B'mash Ketubah, like that's a derech. Sometimes the Tana has Zu Bein Tzirich Lamar Zu, this and certainly that. And sometimes Lo Zu Abzu. So this is a derech. Okay, that's the second answer. Now, the third answer. V'ibayit Ema Kula Mitziyat Nami, or someone would say Kula Nami, Kula or Kula, Denakit la biyadi, or punk faker, that the middle and last cases he's holding it in his arm. He says v'hak kamash balan, kibet denakit la biyadi, afgav lo amar elabah kamat amar mash ketubah dami. The third answer is in the third case when the Tana says Bav Mash Ketubah, he says Bav Mash Ketubah, the Bav Kayamin doesn't mean he said both. He just said Bav. He says it, and then but we understand it when he's holding it and he says Ba. He means Mash Ketubah. He said Labah Kaman Damar Mash Ketubah Dami. All right. Now, in other words, the Gemara is saying that in the case two and case three, he's holding the Sefer Torah. So if he says, he's talking about the Shem Hashem.
Good.
But even if he says, Ba, in it, he's also referring to the Shem Hashem. In other words, if he says, Ba, that by this, I'm going to do X, he means the Shem Hashem. Because since he's holding it, he's machshiv it. And so even though he says, Ba, he means, b'mashu ketuba. That's the third answer. Okay. So okay, any questions, comments to us what we did so far? All right, let me do a little bit with this daf digest. And then, the yalla daf. Okay, now, if one deliberately swears falsely by Hashem's name, he's subject to malakot, and if he does so by mistake, he's obligated to bring korban. The Mishnah in Masechet Shavuot on Daman Hei says that if one swears falsely by Shemayim Ba'aretz, by heaven and earth, he's exempt from penalty because he did not swear by Hashem's name. Gemara says if one makes a neder while holding a Sefer Torah, the neder is valid. The Ran and the Rambam explain that the Gemara sometimes uses the term neder loosely. In this instance, it actually refers to a shua. If one is holding a Sefer Torah and swears by it, his oath takes effect. If his oath is false, he must bring a korban, because he means to swear by the names of Hashem, which are inscribed in the Sefer Torah. The Rambam, in codifying this halakha, distinguishes between the Sefer Torah and the Sefer Nevi'im of Ketuvim, the books of the prophets and the rest of scriptures. The Rambam writes that only swearing by a Sefer Torah is a valid oath, but if one swears by one of the books of the prophets, it's not considered a valid oath. The Raiva disputes this distinction, and he proves from a Gemara and Shabbos that not only a Sefer Torah, but the Sefer Nevi'im also contains sanctity to the Shem Hashem. The Raiva thus maintains that an oath taken by the Sefer Nevi'im is certainly valid. The Safdan Paneach, as the Rugged Shaver, links this dispute to another dispute between the Rambam and the Raiva in Hilchos Megillah. There's a famous Rambam at the end of Hilchos Megillah, where he says that all the Sifrei Nevi'im and Ketuvah are going to be batel limos Mashiach, except for the Megillah. And the only thing will be left, the Kavisha Kumshi Torah and Megillah Esther. So the Raivad vehemently disagrees and maintains that no book is going to become batel. So the Safna Panech explains that an oath has validity only if it's associated with Hashem's name or the Torah, which are eternal. However, one swears by a book of the prophets, the Rambam holds the oath is not valid, it's not eternal. So the Rambam, the Shita Toh, holds, if you take an oath by a Sefer Nevi'im, it's not something which is eternal, so it's not a valid oath. Even though because Esther is an exception, will endure eternally, cannot be used as the object of an oath because there's no Az Karod in the entire Megillah. All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Yeah. So the third case is the Gemara is saying that the third case he's holding the Sefer Torah, but he didn't say Ba v'mash ketubah. He only said Ba. And when the Braisa says v'mash ketubah, the Braisa is saying when he says Ba, it means Mamasha Ketuvba. Right. In other words, right. In other words, even if he just says Ba, we'll understand it's Mamasha Ketuvba. Say again, repeat. Right. Okay. All right. Let's wrap it up with the daf and then we'll go on. Okay, everybody with me? Everybody good? Josh, you okay? Okay. What's bothering you?
I think it's like. So he's holding a Torah and he just
says, Ba. In other words, if he makes a statement by the Shem Hashem, he says, by the name of God, he's going to do X or Y, that's a Lashon of Shvuah. So once it's a Shvuah, he's held a certain din, he's subject to Malkot and a Korban. He's got to do it. So the question is, did he make a valid Shvuah or not? So he didn't say Shem Hashem. He's holding the Torah and he says, Ba. So is he referring to the Shem Hashem or not? So we went through different ukimtas in the Gemara. According to the last ukimta, if he's holding a Torah and he says, Ba, he means the Shem Hashem that's in it.
Okay.
All right. I have to move on. These sound like Yadot. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, all right, Manitin. Now, Konam Shani Hashem. Konam, we learned, is one of the Kinuyim. It's Lashon Korban. Konam Shani Hashem. He's making, now sleeping, a neder has to relate to a cheftza. Sleeping is not a cheftza. So the Gemara is going to have a question, what is it referring to here? But konam shani ashen, So one way to understand that is just on a Drabbanan level, could there be one way we'll understand it. He's making that he's not going to sleep. Shani medaber, that he's not going to speak. Shani malek, that he's not going to walk. And some have a different girsa. She'eni yashen, she'eni medaber, she'eni malek. Ha'omer le'isha, if a man says to a woman, konam shani misham sheikh, he's making a konam that he's not going to have relations with her. So lo yachel. So what does the Mishnah mean here? So it could mean that the Mishnah is saying on a Drabbanan level these things are effective, which is one pshat we'll have in the Gemara. But another pshat, which we'll see and we'll get into it today, but we'll do it more tomorrow, is that he's making a different type of a shua. He's saying, let's say he's not saying konam shni yashen. He's konam einai b'shena hayom. He's going to say that my eyes are prohibited with the konam today, imishan lamachar, if I sleep tomorrow. In other words, he's got a shua, but the trigger for the shua takes place tomorrow. So if he takes a nap tomorrow, then there's a shua that's chal today. If he doesn't take a nap tomorrow, it doesn't. It's not chal today. So right now, the Gemara is saying that konam shini yashen, once he makes that konam, he shouldn't sleep today. He's lo yachel, because we're afraid that he's going to do the trigger tomorrow, in which case he is subject to a shvua for today. Those are two the shakim we'll see. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara.
That's
the way
against his wife.
Yeah. So again, he can make the. How can he make the shvua when he's chayiv and ona? Is what you're saying? Yeah. So it looks like. Hold this one till tomorrow. I have a feeling.
Maybe it's
been
neder.
We'll see tomorrow. Like it could be there's a trigger involved with this. We'll see tomorrow's daf. Hold this off for a little bit. Like if she goes to her father's house for Pesach, might trigger it or something like that. But we'll see. We'll see. All right. Let me just do a few lines in the Gemara and. Okay, let's take a look. Now, okay, so the Gemara says, Itmar, so the Gemara has a machloket amaraim, which is going to connect to our Mishnah, which I alluded to a moment ago. Itmar, konam einai b'shena hayom. So this is a valid neder. It was konam einai b'shena. In other words, my eyes are prohibited in sleep today, imishan l'machar, if I sleep tomorrow. So if he sleeps tomorrow, he's not allowed to sleep today. But so he says, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav Al Yishana Yom Shemishal Makar." So Rav says he's prohibited on a Drabbanan level from sleeping today because we're afraid that tomorrow he's going to sleep, in which case he'll be subject to the shrua today. So since he could trigger the shrua tomorrow, and now it'll come out today, he was prohibited to sleep. So to be on the safe side, he shouldn't sleep today. And we'll see one shot is that that's what our mission is talking about. The Rav Nachman Amar, Yashen Ayom, Blo Chayshin Hashem Yishnal Machar. Nachman says, no, let him sleep away today. I'm not worried about what he'll do tomorrow. I assume he'll be careful not to trigger it tomorrow because then he'll violate his Shua. Umod Rav Yehuda, but Rav Yehuda says, I have to be concerned with him like triggering the Shua tomorrow by sleeping. But Omer Konami Nai B'Shen Al Machar, if a person says that my eyes will submit to a konam tomorrow, imishana yom, if I sleep today, here the trigger is today, sheshena yom. Then he agrees that he can sleep today. Let's see on top line of Tepam and Aleph. Kilom is dying here, but it's not. Because Rav Yehuda is concerned that a person, he won't be careful with the trigger. In other words, if he says, there's a konam on me sleeping today, if I sleep tomorrow. So I'm concerned that tomorrow he'll sleep. He won't be concerned. That's the trigger. So I'm concerned he's not going to be careful with that trigger. He says, Kilo Mizdayer Bitzna, about the Isura Mizdayer. But if he knows that he has a valid Shua today, he says, if I sleep today, there's a Shua, I can't sleep tomorrow. What is it? He says, Right, that he can't sleep tomorrow if he sleeps today, so then he knows it's going to be tomorrow that he can't sleep. I'm not afraid that he's not going to observe his shvua. He says, but he will observe that. So again, so Rabbi Yehuda's concern that a person might not be careful with the trigger. In other words, the trigger is what, you know, creates the shvua. The trigger is tomorrow. The trigger is, again, he says, konaminai b'shena hayom imi shan l'machar. If he sleeps tomorrow, that's the trigger. That's the tanai. So I'm concerned that a person, you know, might sleep today, but then the trigger tomorrow, he's not going to be so concerned about. But if he has the shvua in place today, he says, konaminai b'shena l'machar imi shan hayom. If I sleep today, then there's a neder on me tomorrow. So then Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about him sleeping today. He'll be careful not to sleep tomorrow. Okay, now let me just do a little bit here, and that will be it for today. Now, all right. The Shevet HaLevi was asked whether it is permitted to cut some of the empty margins off a very heavy Sefer Torah to make it lighter and fit to use. Everyone say okay? Okay. So the Shevet HaLevi was asked, can I take a Sefer Torah, cut like the thick margin? You know, the Sefer Torah today are smaller and lighter than they used to be. Years ago, you may recall, like 50 years ago, they were much bigger, heavier Sifrei Torah. We have a couple of them here in the shul. They were, you know, big, heavy things, you know, to carry around. Now, what happened is, like in Europe, they would only have like a cow, and they would use the cow, and it would be a big urea, and they would use it that way. And now they have like, you know, I guess we're wealthy or whatever, they have like, you know, small calves, and they're able to shef a small calf and have the smaller cloth, and they do it that way. Anyway, so he says, Shevet HaLevi was asked, was permitted to cut some of the empty margins off very heavy Sefer Torah to make it lighter and fit to use. Shevet HaLevi begins by citing the related ruling in the Maharam of Padua. He wrote that if only the way to fix Sefer Torah is by removing some of the extra parchment, it's permitted, since the alternative would be to have it buried. Therefore, it is obvious that it's better to remove some of the extra parchment rather than bury the entire Sefer Torah. Similarly writes Shevet HaLevi that if there's a heavy Sefer Torah, it should be permitted to remove some of the extra parchment. In other words, I assume the problem is like this. I think you may say it later on. Let's say there's a rip in the cloth. So that could possibly say for Torah, even if it doesn't go into the writing, but if there's enough of the rip, but if I, you know, trim off the parchment, so now, in other words, like let's say it comes out, let's say it's a very big piece of parchment, and it comes out now, most of the parchment is ripped because it's ripped on the bottom, ripped on the top, and I got a problem. But if I trim it all off, so now most of it's not ripped. Now it's complete. So the Maharam Padua says you could trim off the Sefer Torah on the top of the bottom and you're good. So he says the Shevet HaLevi wants to say if it's a heavy Sefer Torah, it should be permitted to remove some of the extra parchment. He then expresses some hesitation on the matter. In the case of a heavy Sefer Torah, one could almost always find a person who is very strong to lift it. So removing the additional parchment is not necessary to make the Sefer Torah usable. Although the Sefer Torah's weight will, of course, be used less often, there's not enough of a fact to permit cutting off some of the parchment. So he wants to say connect to the Maharam Padua was then, but it's not exactly the same. The Maharam Padua was talking about where I'm going to trim it so it's usable. I assume like, of course, the Sefer Torah. But with the heavy Torah, see, it's inconvenient, but you'll find somebody to carry the Torah. Maybe I can't cut away. The Mishnah Halachot, that's from Menashe Klein, was asked a similar question. And then this is just from the Sefer Torah we said with Shruam. There was a Sefer Torah that was very old, and in different places there were tears, sometimes on the top, sometimes at the bottom of the parchment. Somebody wanted to cut the parchment from the top and the bottom of Sefer Torah, so tears could be removed, and there will be uniform heights of the parchment. The Mishnah Halachot answers that it is permitted, and he cited our Gemara's proof to this conclusion. The Gemara rules, when one sees the Sefer Torah on the ground and declares that he's vowing by it, the vow is not valid, because we assume he's referring to the parchment, which is not sacred. He then expresses, in other words, he wants to say, this is saying, the Mishnah Halachot wants to say that, like, the Gevilim have less Kedusha, the Torah. So he says, he then expresses hesitation about this lenient approach, since it's difficult to imagine that the parchment Sefer Torah is not sacred. Furthermore, the Gemara seems to indicate that it is sacred. Therefore, after a long analysis of the matter, he concluded that each case must be judged separately. All right, I think we're going to call it a day with this. Okay, let me end the recording. One second.